Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. We have a very special guest on today. Now, before I go any further, if you're hearing any other crazy noises, I do have the painters still outside working. And I've put some earphones on because Indra was having trouble with feedback. We were getting a bit of feedback there. So hopefully it's all coming through okay, loud and clear for everyone. But I just want to introduce Indra. I'll read his bio. So Indra has been walking his spiritual path for over 50 years. He's a Vedic astrologer who studies the Yugas. Now, I think I've actually pronounced that really completely wrong, but he will help me with that when he comes on. And that's an ancient part of the Hindu knowledge. He has combined his knowledge of astrology with an Enneagram theory that works with his clients on a deeply intuitive level. Now, he provides individual readings to help others achieve their spiritual freedom. Now, what we're going to talk about, I'll let Indra do that for you. So here is Indra. Welcome, Indra.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
I'm really interested to see what I have to say.
Yeah, so am I. Now, guys, Indra's internet is a little bit funny, so the video might be a bit strange. And if this audio does come off, because this is a podcast and a video, if this audio does go off, I'll keep on chatting until he gets back on again. So it'll only be a temporary thing. But first of all, let's get stuck into this. What put you on your spiritual journey, Indra? Where did it come from? What were you doing? And tell us all about it.
Well, I've been on the spiritual path, as you said, 50 years, and I actually had the situation that my parents died of natural causes. My mother, within a week of graduating college, and my father 2 years later. And in the process of that, I was ready to move to California. And when I got to California, so I was free. In a sense, I didn't have a lot of limitations that we had, so I was free. And I started going to the spiritual bookstores in Berkeley and started reading about spirituality and started reading about astrology. And it kind of happened from there. That's what got me going.
Right. Okay. Hang on. Let me put me back on. Okay. So the trigger was almost the loss of your parents, was it?
No, I wouldn't say the trigger was the loss of my parents. I'm saying that the loss of the parents gave me the freedom, so I didn't have the limitations of being weird to my family or needing to come back home or needing to be a certain way. I had a certain freedom, a certain opportunity that was both, you could say, limiting, and it was also expanding. And my nature, my personality is expansive. And that's a direction I saw it in, that it was a bit of a setup that that I could dedicate my life to trying to understand this life, because I was given a sense of freedom from needing to be certain ways.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I left home when I was 21, and it was almost for the same reason. I love the family, but I needed to find me. I needed to have that breakaway, that space, because, yeah, I wanted to be weird. I wanted to follow my spiritual path, and it was weird. in the family. And I come from a family with eight. I've got seven brothers and sisters. So you can imagine what that impact was around. So I really understand that. It is that freedom, yeah, for sure. And was restricting because you didn't have the family support, or you didn't have the finances, or you didn't have other aspects of it. But in the same way, it was really expansive. I love that. That's really cool. All right. So then you went on and you started doing some, you actually traveled around.
So I, at this particular time, I had become aware of the book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and by Paramahansa Yogananda. And that really opened me up to spirituality. And within 3 or 4 years, I was took discipleship with Yogananda, and I eventually moved and lived 20 years in an ashram in California dedicated to Yogananda. That was until 1999.
Oh, okay, right. So let's head on to the Enneagram. I think I pronounced that wrong too.
Enneagram.
I don't know how many times he's told me.
The Enneagram of personality. And interestingly enough, I just gave you the story up to 99, and this is what happened in 99 is that as I was leaving the community and as I was separating from my wife and my kids were kind of grown, that it turned out that all these changes happened at the same time, and that I had a friend suggest to me to take an Enneagram of Personality workshop. And I did. I'd never heard of it. And that first weekend, I was very struck with it. And I immediately saw similarities between it and astrology, which, again, I had been familiar with and studying for almost 30 years at that point. And so I got an inspiration that weekend that I wanted to be able to share them together, even though I didn't have a system. But I found somebody who gave me a system of how Enneagram and astrology work together.
Oh, so when you're doing it, you're actually working the two of them together.
Well, yes, I can do that. It's part of the process that they have that the personalities show up in the astrology. And so the Enneagram of personality, Enneagram is a Greek term that means nine-sided figure. And the teaching says that there are nine personality types. On the simplest of levels, it's a psychological tool, but it also happens to be that these are the nine personality types, that they are as the white light comes through the prism and is refracted into seven identifiable rainbow colors, that somehow through the mind or through the atmosphere or through our brain or whatever it is, that we come out with these nine personality types, that we're a social species and that we need these nine types, because if we all had the same personality, not much would get done.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. We do need that. We need that lovely blend of everyone, don't we? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So can we go through each of the personality types just to give a brief understanding of it, and see what that is. So to start with, how do you work out what personality type you are?
Well, that's a great question, Susan. The you can take tests, and for some people it's pretty easy, that once they read the archetypes, they kind of know themselves. And some people are pretty hard to type because astrologically they merge with, psychologically they merge with other people. They don't really know who they are. They don't really know what they feel. And so these people can have trouble finding their Enneagram type. It's neither good nor bad. It just is. But there are the Enneagram is that there are three core instincts: anger, emotion, and fear. And while we have all three of them in this, we actually radiate from one of them. And then there are three reactions towards energy coming toward us. There are those that go toward it, who are, they show an extroverted personality. There are those that pull back from it. They're more internal personality. And then there are people that have a strategy of living in neutral. So this is an active neutral. It's a strategy of checking out. They're neither extroverted nor introverted. And so three reactions times three instincts gives us 9 unique Enneagram vibrational signatures.
Wow. Okay. And so they go through. So when you do it, are you doing it through questioning or do you do it in a different manner? Like asking questions?
The fact is at this point, sometimes I just get a feeling from people. And it isn't for me to tell people what their Enneagram story is because I don't really know. But each of them have their own flavor and ways of being and the talking style. And we radiate from this story. We radiate our story. And so you can feel with your intuition, you can feel whether people are happy or sad. And you can feel whether they're coming from fear or coming from anger. So you already kind of get a feeling. And so for sometimes numbers just appear in my head, I just get a feeling about people. But basically you take a test and you can, the tests are geared towards figuring out whether you're the anger, emotional bodied or fear based, or whether you're outward, inward or neutral.
Oh, okay. That's a really interesting. Really interesting. How different is that from, say, the Myers-Briggs one? Because they've got 16, haven't they? Personalities.
So it's similar to Myers-Briggs, but it's 16 and 9 is one different. But the Myers-Briggs is more like personality. Like I said that this is, on the simplest of levels, this could be personality typing, but on deeper levels, it's the core trigger to get us out of the moment. And it's a spiritual tool. The Enneagram gives us our core triggers and then encourages us to get into the moment and out of the core story. Psychology doesn't do that. The end game for psychology is observing behavior. But there's while in psychology there's a feeling of normalcy, the fact is that normalcy still has a triggering in it. Spiritually, we're looking to get out of the triggering.
And handle those triggers differently. Yes. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. What are the 9 personalities?
Okay. So with that introduction, I'll start at the number one. So we use numbers for them. They're not condescending and there's no hierarchy between the numbers. None of these are any good. They're all in their low side. They're all really horrible to be stuck in. They're strategies for living. So the one is the anger, inward, and that's the perfectionist, that they deal with their feelings of inadequacy and deficiency by making sure that everything in their life is done correctly. But the fact is, so you say, well, how do you know what's right? And the fact is they make it up and it's changeable. So the two is the image type, who is outward focused, and they're called the helper. And their focus is on helping other people, but it's because it's not really, while it looks neutral and it looks really giving, the fact is it has a bit of a hook in it because that's how they get their self-worth is by being helpful and other people then love them and give them the love that they don't feel that they themselves have. So that's two. So three is the producer. This is image type neutral, and they build up their self-esteem by what they can produce and achieve. And the four is the individualist, and this is image type inward. These are Michael Jackson, the musicians, Bob Dylan, Whitney Houston. They're the most creative, and their story is that they don't feel their true significance. They are incredible in their sense of beauty. They're the dancers, they're the photographers, the writers. They use adjectives in ways that nobody else does. So the five is the first of the fear types. This is inward. This is the observer. They use information as a way to gain the security that they're looking for. The sixth is called the loyalist. And this is neutral fear is the archetype. And they are doubters. They are the worriers. They're the anxiety people. They're the ones that are calling you up saying, well, I'm worried because in a year something might happen, but it never happens. And they go around going from doubt to doubt. That's their particular challenge. But they, on the high side, what they teach us is duty, the sense of duty and courage. And so the seven, which is my number, is the enthusiast. And hopefully I'm being enthusiastic. I don't think I can do anything but that. So the enthusiast is fear outward. And so we're always running for new, fun, greener pastures things, but it's actually, it's not actually running toward, it's actually running from our own hidden emptiness, our own emotions and feelings that are very painful for us to have to explore and sit in. So the eight is the boss. This is anger, external. These are the strongest people on the Enneagram. They have, I like to say, they have all offense and no defense. They don't want you to see that they have a teddy bear in their heart. They can't really live in vulnerability. And so they are always intense and pushy on you. Jack Nicholson is sort of the poster child as a hothead and strong personality. I'm not labeling him, but just it can look like. Yeah. And the nine then is at the top of the figure, and it's the peacemaker. This is anger neutral, and they're concerned with the inner harmony of having peace. And so they accommodate other people in order to find a way to create peace, but it's the story of peace, not peace. And so they in this accommodating, they disconnect from themselves.
Wow, that's amazing. But you know what I've noticed? It's because it's, you're talking about triggers and how we're dealing with triggers. It just seems a lot of negativity in there.
So I'm giving the negative side of the story in order to describe it. The positive side of the eight is the sense of caring for other people, that the eights have they have a posse and they take care of this posse, and so they teach us. They teach us about having us be secure, teaching us how to be secure on the high side. But they can't teach us that until they get over the compulsion or the obsessive of being so intense and pushy and pushing themselves on other people in their intensity.
Oh, so they've got to work out the balance of it. So they stay as an eight, but they've got to balance out those areas.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that I'm just picking. I just picked eight for whatever reason because
I get that. Yeah,
you know, so because I was just picking the downside, but I mean they're all horrible stories. You know, the emotion of the four, the self-righteousness of the one, the lustiness of the eight, the intensity of the seven, and in your face all the time and too intense, and the five needing to hide, you know, closing the door on you. And it's not about you, it's just that they get overwhelmed when there's too much energy, so they have to go hide. And so it's horrible. It's the suffering of being in the personality. And so, but the beauty of the Enneagram is that it describes it in a way that once you can understand what's at your core, then you can let go. You can see the patterning in the story and you can let go of it. It's like having, an ex-mate, you know, you divorce somebody and then you think that jerk, da 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 da, and then, I don't know, something changes and all you see, well, you know, he was a good dad to the kids and he was loving at a time, and he's being loving now to his new partner or whatever. And you kind of rise to the high side, and you don't sit in the low side. So the idea is to work this out in order then to be able to radiate the truth in your particular story and to add your flavor to the mix. I mean, the obsessive part is your pain. You know, I don't need to take on the obsessive part of your story. That's the teaching for me.
Oh, I see. So am I looking at this in the right manner? Is it's almost like seeing your shadow side, or being aware of what they call your shadow side, let's say the negative side, being aware of it so you can actually, it's going to always be there. It might be always that go-to because that's what you're used to, but you're creating this awareness of it so you can then, I don't know, maybe step back, slow down a little bit
take
before
it,
you just do
take
that
it apart.
Instant react.
Take Sorry? It apart. Take it apart.
Yeah, okay. So how do we do that? What does that look like?
Well, that goes to the four doorways to conscious living. Did you want to get into that now?
Oh, yes, please. Yes. So, Indra's got a four doorways to conscious living? Explain a bit about that, because that's really interesting.
So at the end of the readings I offer, and maybe you'll get into this later, but I just mentioned this, that we have three different modalities the astrology was one and the Enneagram is another. But so these three different modalities give you a different perspective on yourself. It's basically the same story. I mean, for many people is that's why I say I can see the personality in the astrology so then at the end people say, well, what do I do with all this? So the four doorways to conscious living appeared to me. So the first one is, the first doorway is learn to observe. And that's the importance is just to watch your own behavior, to watch what you say, to watch how you react to other people. Just watch to what's going on. You need to get out of your movie and you need to get into the audience of your movie in order to become the observer of what is going on and the detachment. And so what I was trying to say before with your ex-mate is that eventually you get to a place where you can laugh about things that you couldn't laugh about before, that you see your parents patterning in such a way, and you think rather than think I'm stupid, because it's but it's like silly me, you know, it's like, oh, there I did it again. So the first doorway is to learn to observe, and the second is to let go and release what doesn't serve you, that we want to release it. And I like this paragraph here. Letting go involves being aware of a feeling, letting it come up, staying with it, and letting it run its course without wanting to make it different or do anything about it. It means simply to let the feeling be there and to focus on letting out the energy behind it. When letting go, ignore all thoughts. So this is from a book called Letting Go by a man named David Hawkins. And it's a fabulous book, but the letting go is to be aware of the story, to be aware of the intensity, and then to just let it go, to get over it, you know, to have it be behind you in your rearview mirror. And to so then the third step is to love yourself. Then when you let go enough, then you love yourself. And the fourth step, the fourth doorway is to live in the moment. So when you live in the moment, then you are loving yourself. You can't have it any other way. So how do I love myself? Is to let go and release what doesn't serve you. And how do I know what to let go and release? That's to learn to observe. So that the watching, the idea is increasing your will on whatever it is that you deem that are behaviors that you feel that are not beneficial to you. You know, at certain ages, these behavior patterns are beneficial, but then there comes a time when we realize that they're not beneficial. And so that the point then is to let go.
Okay, right. That's really, it's very, very, very much in line. Different terminology, same in line as it's my principles. Yes. So I really enjoy that. And of course, with the observe, and I suppose to start with, that can be our biggest step, getting an understanding of who we are, observing what we're doing, what we're looking at, and things. And this is where your tools, the astrology, and those tools that are all coming in, that's actually, I'd love to know a little bit more about the astrology too, because it's different to the regular astrology, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And I'm kind of a different astrologer. The tools help you to know what to observe. That's the point of them. And so the way I do, so I do Vedic astrology, which is Indian astrology. And the main difference with Vedic astrology is that we cast our chart with sidereal time. And so the chart is 24 degrees. The planets are 24 degrees backwards. And so if you're a Leo sun, most likely to me, you're a Cancer sun. And while that can be dislocating a bit at first, the fact is that the frequency of the chart that I'm using is calibrated in order to help me to be really clear on what you need to know in order to help you to wake up to who you really are. I'm only interested in looking at strengths and weaknesses of your planets. I'm interested in the signs that they're in. I'm not interested in aspects. I'm only interested in the signs that they're in, because the planets that are in signs that they're not comfortable with, these create the obsessions and compulsions that the personality acts out.
Oh, okay. And when you say you're doing that, is that as a birth chart, like when they're born, or is that? Yeah. Okay. So it is when you're born. Okay, so you take all that information, and then you get the personality, you get the an enneagram as well, and you bring that all together.
I take the full reading. The full life reading is 3 hours. It's a bit of an ordeal, and it goes rather quickly. It's intense because it's intense in terms of the information that gets revealed, but it's not intense because it's essence to essence. It's not personality to personality. We talk about personality, but we're not talking to the personality. And so the idea is to help you to focus on what it is that you need to do. What are the blocks that are keeping you from waking up? So we take you through the personality story for approximately an hour and a half to show you your core triggers, to show you how it works, to show you how you manipulate, to show you what your first response is, to show you how you hold yourself back from living in the presence. And then I give you some of the antidotes, and then we go into the astrology chart, and we're looking for the strengths and weaknesses. What are the key planetary situations that are creating tension in your life? I had a person recently this week that just comes to me that she had a cuspy, I think it was a really good chart, but she had a cuspy sun, and with its a stellium, which means that it's got two other planets there. Cuspy means it's at the edge of the house. And so all of the questioning and all of the insecurities come from this sun, which is cuspy, means it doesn't really, it's not comfortable where it is, because it's just in one house. And so it kind of feels the other house. And then it has two other planets that it's conjunct with, and they just create it's like having two older sisters, or if you're, you know, for you, or two older brothers for me, that it's like, who am I? And I can't find myself. So this particular pattern sets up a bit of a, it creates a frequency that your life lives at, and it's a story that I can kind of see instantly in order to help people to be able to understand that this is what's really going on, is that the sun, you have to be stronger within yourself, because your sun is just it's cuspy, and it's just not comfortable, and so all of the compulsions come out of that.
Wow. And when you're sort of saying that, like, that can be quite confronting when you're starting to look at those aspects. It could be quite confronting for the people too. How do you deal with that? How do you help them through that?
So I would say that, well, it can be, but I think that I think my personality is such that seeing as I can't take anything too seriously, I have a way of making light of it that I can talk about it in the deepest ways, but I don't make it personal. The fact is that everybody has this stuff. Everybody has something sticky. Everybody has a story, and all these stories are really they're suffering, you know, to be stuck in the frustration of needing everything perfect, to be codependent because you need to be helping people in order for your own self-worth. It's horrible. And people come to me in a time of I want to find another way. I want to hear what the truth is. They don't come to me on their 21st birthday ready to celebrate. They come to me when they've searched and they're really looking for answers. And I am able to, the reading is able to give people answers to the most difficult of questions, that it makes sense out of all of these. I never really felt at home, and I've never been secure, and I have trouble having, so I can make a sense out of all of it. It's empowering. I mean, it's empowering, and then it's and then it disappears. I tell them after they leave the room. You know, in India, when we did them in the rooms, after you walk over the threshold of the door, it disappears because it's clear right here, right now. But then you're on your own and it disappears. So that's their challenge, is to get back to it. But the idea is then some people come back, and then we can go deeper and deeper into it. I want to get in that it's the my approach I like to call science and intuition. I thought you might like this. So
Oh,
the
yeah, absolutely.
so the idea is that the science is that these are observable sciences. People might call them and put them down to call them pseudosciences, but I'm not really hip onto the science, and I'm not talking vaccines or anything, but just the idea that science becomes what is popular, and then when we get new facts, then there's new science. And so I'm not really sold on the whole society's way of looking at things going back to the 16th century. But I do believe that these are observable sciences, and that they tell us intuitionally. They feel so strong, and they tell us things that people say, "Well, how do you know that?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's just, you know, look, the sun is cuspy. You know, there's no other way. If your sun is cuspy, it's just a setup. You know, it's to teach you something. You know, is that you don't really know everything, and you're here to learn, and this is what you've been given." For your own highest good. I do. I do. I think you may like this. So sometimes, so there's a
I
couple
love it
things.
all.
Okay, so there's a couple things. This is that I've learned in my positive outlook group way. I've learned to say, I've learned, well, I mean, I won't say I learned, but I've come to realize, and what I say to people is that I think these challenges, the point of the challenges is that we overcome them, then we can teach them to other people.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And how we do that is, you know, it could be in a organized manner, or it could be just in a casual conversation, or just people observing what you're doing. You're teaching them by living your truth.
Yes, and not only that, but we're also teaching what we need to learn. But the idea is you have these challenges, and the point of what the challenges is that when you overcome that challenge, then you can teach it to other people.
Yes, and I've always found too, when you start to teach it, start to speak it, the words almost bounce back at you, and you get a better understanding on a deeper level or another level.
Absolutely, that we're really talking to ourselves. We can get this whole thing that it's us, that we're the healer, and that it's our power, and that it's our intuition, and it's our wisdom. But the fact is that we're as much the baby as anybody. You know,
Absolutely.
how much do the clients teach us? You know.
Exactly. Yes, I know. That's why I want clients. I want clients because I learn more. You know?
That's
I get
exactly.
the understanding of it. Yeah.
And that's not a coincidence. That's what the purpose is.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love that. Okay. So what I want to go through, we've gone through the different aspects that you do, how you do it. People can contact you. Now, we've got the little ticker tape going for the video, but of course, the podcast don't see that. So if you want to contact Indra, if you want to get a reading or get an understanding of this, have a chat with him. The email is Indra. So I-N-D-R-A. And is it Rinzler?
Rinzler.
R-I-N-Z-L-E-R. Now, there's no dot or anything. That's all in one word. Indra Rinzler at gmail.com. You can contact him that way. And the same for his website. It is Indra Rinzel. Oh, God. Why am I so bad at that? I struggle with people's names. Tell me,
IndraRinzler.com.
There you go. That's why I struggle. It sounds so much nicer coming from the person. It sings when it comes from the person. From me, nah, not so good. So you can contact him that way. Now, the four doors of conscious living. What can you? You've explained what that is, Indra, and it sounds absolutely beautiful. So it's about observe, let go, and release. Love yourself. And live in the moment. Sorry, I've lost my ear thing. So you've explained that. How do people contact you? What is that about? Is that a workshop? Is that a one-on-one? How does that work for people?
The four doors is just sort of the resolution is that this is the, what do I do? So here is the way to interact it's an attitude and a technique for any teaching and learning. And I've taught classes on it. I'm not doing that right now. The sessions are people can connect with me on the sessions, but it just resolves into it's your own work. It's a self-realization work is that there isn't anything that anybody else can do. You have to do your own observing.
Yes, absolutely.
I was going to say the reading is designed to give you clues about what you should be observing.
Okay. All right. So basically it's the reading. It's not necessarily the four doors, but that's basically you helping people open the first door.
Yes.
In that sort of a context, and then they can go from there. Yeah. Okay, cool. So it's all about the reading.
I think there's an old phrase. I don't know if you have it down there, but something like you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. So absolutely. I can take you to the four doors, but I can't make you drink. So that's
okay. Yes. Okay. The four doors are almost your methodology. This is how you can get people to live a happier life. But your biggest thing is the first door to observe, and they need to do that by using those tools that you've got by the reading.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So if you want to contact Indra, do so and get a reading on this, because I'd love to get a little bit more information. Have you got an example that you can tell us about, like how you've helped somebody, what it looks like?
Oh, probably 1,000 of them.
No names, of course.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what you're looking for, but... what to say? So I had a, yeah, so I had a lady, again, I don't want to get into the vaccines particularly, but I had a lady that I talked to because she was concerned about, I do location astrology where you can, the best place for you to be, you know, to live. And I don't want to go into that. That's a whole nother thing. But we were talking from that point of view, and she was worried about, she was a native born European living in Canada. And she was concerned about the vaccines and how things were going to be and da, 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 da. So I told her that, well, we don't really know anything, you know, that it's all, is that she was wanting to be back home, but she couldn't really live there. And it was just the fact was is that she was so emotional about everything that she wasn't feeling her intuition, and she needed to just relax in order for her intuition to be able to clear up. And then after talking to her, a week later, I saw an article about Canada that said that that there was a little bit of rebellion from some of the workers, bosses of bigger companies, that they didn't, because they had the labor shortage, that they didn't really want to go into this mandate stuff. They wanted to bypass that, and they didn't really want to ask whether what would work, whether people had the vaccine or not. And so then yesterday, I think it was, yesterday I had another client who I know from a South American who I met in India, who is living in New Zealand. And she had the same sort of worries. And I told her, you know, the story of the Canada lady and the Canada article. And I told her the story that I told the Canada lady, that I had heard this story 30, 40 years ago, that there was a man in the 1930s that knew that things were getting really, really bad, that there was some world events about to happen, this world war. And so he spent 2 years trying to figure out the safest and best place for him to be. And where he ended up, which I don't exactly remember where he ended up, but it was like Guam, where there was 4 years of Japanese and American war, you know, like every part of the island was shot up. And so the point is that you don't really know, that the idea is that you don't really know where are you running from, or you're running towards, you don't really know what's safe. And so the best thing is that this client on the yesterday is that she needed to learn to trust. I could see an empty fifth house, and I've worked with her a few times, that she just needed to learn to trust that all of her danders and emotions were up because she just wasn't feeling settled in the choices and in the that I have no control. So the fact is we have no control. But within that is that we have the ability to trust. That's the control that we have, is that the energy that got us here, the energy that digests our food, the energy that grows our food, that this is what we need to learn to trust. And this is how we need to learn to live, is to trust that. And if we don't trust that, then we're never whole. We're never content. We're always agitated.
I just, this talk about synchronicity, Indra, you won't believe this. The program I put out, which I started like 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm just bringing it all together now, it's actually called The Power of Trust.
Beautiful.
So I go exactly into that. It's all about trust. If we can't trust ourselves and the decisions we make and where we are, then we've got Buckley's chance of, you know, trusting anything else. We trust, it starts from within. We've got to trust those intuitive messages, that understanding, our bodies. We've got to trust the air that we breathe. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Very, very, very point, very on point. Love it. Like you say, synchronicity is a wonderful thing. Okay, so I think that's it. I think we've covered everything. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was really enjoyable, and I love that the whole concept. I can really see where you're at and how powerful your message is to get people to understand their triggers and observe who they are and what they're doing, so how they can take that forward. Because if we don't do that first step, or in your case, open that first door, we're not going anywhere.
You know, you broke up, so I only heard part of what you said.
Oh, gosh, it was such a good spiel, too.
Well, I heard part of it.
Okay. Anyway, what I want to do is thank you so much, Indra. Do you have anything final you want to say, put forward?
Well, yeah, so what to say, you know, love yourself, breathe the air, you know, enjoy the flowers, have a laugh, yeah, that's all I can say, you know, be whole, be well.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much. Thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate that. And please take his advice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And like you say, just ease up sometimes. You've got to give yourself that little bit of, yeah, oops, made a mistake, you know, stiff shit. Let's keep going. So thank you so much, Indra. I'll say goodbye, but stay on and we'll have a chat just when I finish. Okay? Right. Thank you so much. That was really interesting. So you can catch Indra on the email there. I'll have it all down in the notes down the bottom there so you can see where it is and all the rest. This will do also go, it is the video. It goes on the video show, obviously, the podcast, but I'm also putting them on now on the blogs as well on the website. So that way you can actually get all that information all in one spot, and it allows me to promote these special guests that I have on the show, which is really helping everybody. I just love where we're going with this. But anyway, that's me for today. I hope you have a great week. If I don't catch you before, have a lovely Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Enjoy the festive season, and we will look forward to seeing you very, very soon. Okay, bye for now.